Hi, I'm Eureka John, and I'm sitting here with Gary Shang. Gary, I don't know a whole lot about you, except I do know that you've put on some Web3 events with Edge City, or as Edge City. Are you the founder of Edge City?
I'm one of the instigators, for sure.
An instigator, okay.
It's a new startup, a new community, all the above, that is the main product. Is 1 month long pop-up villages where there was basically a physical location that's geofenced with a few square miles, and hundreds of brilliant people in crypto, AI, biotech, new cities, construction, neurotech, etc., all kind of live together. They work on the projects they've already been working on, but they also almost very organically, really, just want to build new stuff together too.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a convergence of just all things tech in one kind of geolocated technological geofence, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. You can call it. It's like an innovation playground. It's a geofenced innovation playground.
Okay. And I've seen the word Zuzalu associated with Edge City. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Zuzalu,
okay.
Well, you can pronounce it however. Vitalik and a couple others had the idea of doing a co-living experiment in Montenegro from March 25th to May 25th last year. I was lucky to be a part of it. I became a super active contributor to it when I was there. I felt like it was a miracle. I thought that I'd never felt more alive. I feel like that the same could be said about 90% of the people that were there. They were just whoa, I have more hope in the future. I have all these new friends. I'm having a great time. I'm so healthy, all the above. And that got me so excited about this idea of intentional living with other people that are really future forward. And I think other people that were involved really saw that. And I was asked to co-produce a follow-up in Istanbul for 2 weeks called Zoo Connect. And that was such a great experience that I decided to get into the business or vocation of gathering future forward, really wholesome, human flourishing focused innovators.
Amazing. So you're a community builder.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's one of your gifts, I guess, would you say, right?
Oh, it's you just attended the Unrestricted Intelligence Summit. It's so fun for me. It really is.
Yeah. That's really cool. And so I want to get a little bit of your background, what inspired you? What's your crypto journey? How did you get started in all this?
So I have been trying to... I had this deep impulse to make the world better because I see so much suffering in the world. I think that what is life but a bunch of moment to moment experiences? In a way, life is just one big experience as an individual. And a lot of people have a really bad experience that really does not feel okay with me. That your life is just so much full of suffering, and I'm not using suffering in the sense of Buddhist life is suffering. I'm really terrible, terrible living conditions. You're languishing. And where the case is most of it is not, your mindset. It's no, you actually just don't have clean water, right? That kind of thing. And so it's that's been totally not okay with me, and so I've been just in different ways. Really interested in trying to shape that. One of the ways for a while was, kind of treating democracy reform, of 1776 coordination technology, aka our electoral system in America. I really wanted ranked choice voting and open primaries to be kind of a silver bullet. But long story short, that's clearly not. Even if everything was ranked choice voting, we'd still have so many problems, right? And people would be languishing. And Web3 became very interesting to me because it's a big part of it is about empowering everyday all of us to decide what coordination systems we want to be a part of. And where we, yes, I think eventually, and I have friends that are cryptography experts that are actually reforming our voting systems where, and not even using blockchain necessarily, like my friend successfully used his cryptographic voting protocol in a Utah presidential primary. Crazy, right? Yeah. It's called SIV, Secure Internet Voting. You can look that up. But we don't need to just be reforming that 1776 technology, right? There's so many, generally speaking, we should be coordinating outside of that. That the default should not be like every 4 years or 2 years. We should be like coordinating, you know, deciding, like our reality should be like day-to-day co-created by ourselves. We should be coordinating a lot more. And long story short, crypto and the crypto ethos is, I think, essential to a civic revolution in the world, as much as a monetary revolution.
Absolutely. Like no top-down hierarchical control telling people what to do. Well, what was it? One of the speakers up there said, it's not the command and control way of leadership, but it's the inspire and what was it?
Inspire and maybe empower. I don't know. Like one of those things.
Yeah. But that's what decentralization creates.
That's the future. There's no question that that's the future because people do not have to coordinate with command and control anymore. That's just the beautiful thing. You create a protocol. They're like, oh, this protocol makes sense. This rule system makes sense. And like, you have a bunch of people opting into shared protocols where like no one could be a dictator if they wanted to. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's not that won't do evil, it's can't do evil.
Literally, like I used to work at Google. Ironically, they got rid of the don't be evil slogan.
Don't be evil.
But even if your slogan was don't be evil, it really should be can't be evil.
Okay. All right. And that's what all these events that you're hosting and creating and coordinating are. Would you say that's the primary theme of educating and enlightening people on how they can't be evil, like how they can utilize?
I think that's a huge part. I mean, one thing I'll just say is that I've been pleasantly surprised by how many government leaders around the world are genuinely interested in zero knowledge technology so that they, like a corrupt official, couldn't even compromise citizens' data if they wanted to.
Elaborate on that. Are you able to explain a little bit about what zero knowledge technology is for somebody and how that can make it not possible?
Well, so I'm definitely not an expert in this. We have a community of experts in this, which has been really fun. But here's like a basic example. With if you have a zero knowledge, you know, citizenship system, you can do interesting things. Like I can create a nightclub, let's say, where I plug into citizenship API. I can scan my card. It pings the server, and all I get back is, am I over 21?
Yeah.
The server doesn't store anything else besides that. And long story short, like you can do this for many different kinds of things, where like you only share as much information as needed, because the bar does not need to know, more information than needs to know, right? Like. Yeah.
So there's no entity gathering all this type of data on you all the time that they can use to make money off of you. Yeah. Like you're the product.
So you have like the utility that you need to like get in the bar, for example, but like there's no risk, like, cause the bar doesn't even want that risk, right?
Yeah.
Most bar owners aren't trying to just like defraud you for sure, you know? So they don't want that risk of like having a storehouse of credit card information and you know, citizenship information. So why, because we have these cryptographic breakthroughs, long story short, that allow us to only store the information that is truly needed for the function at the time, why are we still storing all this information, including often like social security numbers, you know, date of birth, address? Like, it's just way too much information. It's too much risk for everyone.
Okay, or it should be voluntary that I give it up to the right entities and I actually let them use my data, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure.
All right. So, where do you think Web3 is going? Do you think DeFi is the future? DeSci, DeSo, all the D's.
Everything. Well, I think the spirit of it is that there should be no more dictators, and this matters a lot to me because my grandpa was a slave to the CCP for 6 years. So when my father was 4 years old in China, communist stormtroopers came into my grandpa's villa just because he had some land, because they wanted to scapegoat landowners, people that had property. They ripped him apart from my father and his mother and his sister, right? Ripped my grandfather away from his family, threw him into a truck, sent him to a re-education camp for 6 years. Mm. So my dad did not have a dad from 4 to 10. Can you imagine more pivotal years of your brain development, soul development?
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. And not only that, they did not, they literally forced my family to change their family name. Mm. So my last name is Shang, which is my maternal family, you know, name, which I think is beautiful. And I'm so happy about my name. I wouldn't change my name. But the CCP knew what it was doing by saying, F you, your family is beneath the government. Mm. And if I do anything, it's never again. Mm. Never again is a government going to surpass family, right? That's ridiculous, right? That they can just, especially in a country where they know for centuries, family is everything, right? In Chinese culture, your family lineage is so important. They knew what they were doing, and never again is a authoritarian evil dictator going to be, at least that's what we should be building towards. 100 years from now, we should have no dictators.
Amazing. And one of the speakers here, Paul Allen, is doing a project in which helps people use AI to trace their family backgrounds and help people create that story about themselves, which you have your story. And he says statistically, children and youth who know their family histories and family stories become a lot more resilient. Yeah. And it seems like that's something that's helped you.
I would say some of it's been earned through hard work, whatever, but I would say most of it is I have my grandfather's spirit, right? So in these re-education camps, there's fake judicial system. There's a tribunal that you can go to every year to protest your enslavement. And almost no one did it because it was a fake justice system. My grandpa did that, even though every time he did that, he got his bones broken.
Okay.
Because he wanted to basically help everyone see how much of a joke the system is, how much of a joke this fake judicial system is. And so there's no question in my mind that I have his spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the important things about decentralization too, is you mentioned that the CCP was trying to make you forget your name and forget your family history. Yeah. If it's on the blockchain and it's decentralized, it makes it absolutely impossible to erase that history. So that's of utmost importance. And I think kind of a fine line though, that we're treading with AI to keep it decentralized, because the moment that it goes centralized, it's trouble, right?
Yeah. Totally. AI can be a supercharger of us. It can help us understand ourselves. It can help us understand each other. It can help us scale empathy. It can help us, whatever we're good at, help us get better at it. Mm-hmm. It can fill in our weak spots. We do not, I think there is regulations that need to be happen, but I think it should not be, some people have regulations, some people don't, right? That's where we're getting. We're getting to a point where some corporations want to say, oh, we are responsible enough to models of this power, but regular people are not. There may be a tiny grain of truth to that in some cases. There's some grain of truth to that in some cases, I'm sure. But generally speaking, I find it very dangerous when people do not want to democratize something. There's often a very dark reason for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there anything you have coming up that you'd like to tell people or announce, or any alpha going on, new at next events?
I think the ultimate alpha is that, you know, there's nothing that will give you more energy than knowing why you're doing what you're doing. I think, you know, before we started recording, why do I do this? I do this for God. I do this for because I believe that humans should have free will, that the technology that we have and we develop should increase our agency, not decrease it. It should not be imprison us to big corporations or malicious billionaires or governments or any actor or some kind of poorly programmed super AGI, any entity that is not explicitly in service of flourishing and agency, we should call that out, right? So yeah, the ultimate alpha is partnering with, supporting founders that are doing everything they can to help humans be their beautiful agentic selves.
Amazing. I couldn't have said it any better. You know, it's amazing to hear it from somebody who's so passionate. And thank you so much for coming on here. How can people get a hold of you and follow what you're doing?
I'm on X at Gary Sheng, Sheng. I'm also the same handle on Warpcast and on LinkedIn. I'm easy to find as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, man.